Thank you, Abby. You know, it's a great word in the Bible about standing still, amen, and hearing from him and knowing what he wants us to do. I did think of you, Lex, and that song was for you tonight, too. Did you hear that? Stand still, let God move. Stand still and let God heal your elbow, right? Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're at this morning. I'm so excited about doing Bible Buddies. That was such a great time this morning, wasn't it? Man, we enjoyed that. Be praying for them. But obviously, we kind of outlined a lot of this passage is all we did. I want us to dive in a little deeper tonight. I told several people come in. We had a real special night planned. We're going to open the Word of God. Amen. Not quite excitement that a lot of people are looking for tonight, but it's the excitement we need. Amen. So Deuteronomy chapter 11, if you just stand with me in the honor of God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments, and always. And know you this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which you have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his stretched out arm, and his miracles and acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, and to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, and to the horses, and to their chariots. Now he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you. And how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. And what he did unto Dathan and Abram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their households and their tents and all the substance was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong, go in and possess the land where you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey." Lord, I'm so thankful for your word tonight, and thankful to God that you speak clearly, Lord, of our responsibility to listen to your word, to remember your mighty acts, to recognize, Lord, the sin in our lives and the opportunity to repent and turn and the plans that you have for us, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you just open this word up to us tonight as only you can. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I mentioned this morning just the idea of, are we really living the Word of God and sharing the Word of God? And if you're really living the Word of God, you're in the Word of God, you're studying, you're praying, you're trying to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only, we find that in that way you're sharing the Word of God. Every time you talk, the choices you make, the stands you make, you're going to be sharing his word. It's kind of an automatic thing that will happen as long as we're in that mode. The interesting thing about this passage is, if you look at just verse 1 of chapter 11, look there with me, what you find is what people generally love to hear and love to think about and talk about and focus on when it comes to God, when it comes to church. What's it simply say? Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Well, obviously, man, love God because God loves us. The Bible literally says God is love. I talked to a couple about being married, and often in times in marriage ceremonies, I'll quote that verse. The Bible says God is love, and I'll tell that young couple that, you know, it's only God's love that will endure inside of you. Marriage can be tough, amen, Kay? Marriage is hard. My wife will tell you right quick, the only reason we're still together is because of God. Not anything about me. But we find that when we think about loving God and God loving us, his love, that's just a wonderful thought. It's a wonderful promise, man. It just makes us feel good. And then it goes on and says, and keep the charge. You know, keep his word. Amen, preacher. We need to do that. Boy, I love the word of God. And so many of these heathens out here and churches back on, yeah, we want to keep his statutes and his judgments and his commandments. Praise God, let's do that. But in verse 2, God quickly turns to, as I said this morning, that adults, I want to talk to you. A way that I think God could describe this clearly is sinners, I want to talk to you. And that's where things begin to change a little bit. That's when you begin to drop the truth of God's word, if you would, into a conversation, into your life situation. Man, some major things happen. I may have to reshare this again Sunday because I was going to share it this morning, but it's such a picture God gave me and keeps reminding me over the years. Santa and I hadn't been married too long. We hadn't been in our home too long, Jim. I'll never forget, I'd worked in Charlotte, and I just had a lousy day. I mean, it was just one of those days, Tim. I mean, just nothing went right. Everything's wrong. I was frustrated. I was aggravated. And so I drive our commute home, and I drive home. When I get home, I decide, you know, I'm not going straight in the house, Mike. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to kind of catch my breath. Thankful I'm back out in the country. Try to put it behind me, Chris. I mean, it was just within moments. Blood curdling screams are coming out the back door of my house. Sandra is screaming, fire, fire. So, you know, I run to the house. I run in and there, she was, on the way she was even cooking, was a grease fire pot on the stove. And flame about that high on the stove. And I think I was so aggravated at the world and life, the day I'd had, I simply walked over to that pot, and I got that pot, and I just walked out through the house, and I walked outside, and I put it on the driveway. And about that time, I started thinking, you know, I said, you know, they always say don't put water on a grease fire. And I'm wondering, Stacy's shaking her head there. She knows exactly what's going to happen and the story and what happens when you do this, but I thought, well, I'm going to find out. So I got the old water hose and cranked it up, and I got about 30 foot away from that pot, and I shot me a stream of water out of the water hose on that little pot fire, Robbie. And I kid you not, I think the flames jumped 20 foot in the air. And I said, my goodness, no wonder it happens in the house, and that's why the kitchen catches on fire and everything happens. But the image I have in now, I'm telling you, you drop the Word of God into a conversation. You drop the Word of God and you talk about sin, you talk about God's judgment, you talk about hell. I'm telling you, that'll do that to a conversation. You drop the Word of God in, and that will set a conversation off. That'll set people off. That'll stir things up at home. I mean, that'll stir things up in church. And y'all, we need to pray. And you know, as I said, all week in thinking about the Bible Buddies and just I was helping Sandra and Katie a little bit, you know, Katie, and just thinking about I just kept thinking about the Word of God and how just, you know, our desire is that our children follow the Word of God and follow God in ways that we never have. That's the picture of this passage. The point that's being brought out is that God is speaking to his children saying, listen, I want to talk to you. Your children haven't seen and experienced a lot of the things that you have. And haven't been through a lot of the sin that you have. We're talking about Egypt in a moment. And God is saying, we want more for our children. Amen? And there's no doubt about that. But here's a real scary thing. And this is the thing I find often. We live in a day. And I know that everybody will claim there's not. But y'all, there's this crazy competition among churches. I mean, it's just a reality. And I can get in the room with guys and they'll act like it's not true. But it is true. And I find here's a danger for parents, for us as parents, and for grandparents, all of us, is we get this idea that, man, I want more for my children, you know. I want all they can have. And that's what this passage is about. We're going to look at it in detail. But I've heard that statement before, Dave. You know, Miss Margaret, I really want more for my children. And you, Mike, you see that take a lot of different, you know, pictures. But sometimes I sit in the set of church, you know. Man, I don't know. I tell you, this church, we can't believe what they've got. I mean, you know, they've got the best playground. They got a ball field out there. They got all this stuff going on. They got more people out there, you know, and I want more. And, I've said this a lot, but I don't know if I've ever said this in a setting like this, especially with my dear daughter sitting here, but I just feel led to do this. Brooke is nervous now. But let me find, if I can. I have penciled in my Bible, Brooke, our youth group, 2006. How old were you in 2006? 15. You know, what us preachers do, especially as father preachers, we do, sometimes we use examples in message and teaching. And we just, you know, a youth came to me, Macy. I mean, I called you Macy. That's kind of a compliment, isn't it? And this happened. But no, in my Bible, and some of you remember I've said this before, and in my Bible, it says Brooke in pencil, youth group 2006. So Brooke's 15. She's in the youth group here at church. One of the pictures I could give you, I wish I'd have brought it shown, is Caswell probably that year would probably had 50. Man, load the tour bus up. You know, someone probably gets, you know, pull up down at camp on a tour bus, Mike, you know. I'm sorry, you know, we felt pretty good, didn't we? Man, this awesome. man, this is great. Brooke, my daughter, is 15. I'm in my study, studying real hard for a great message for that Sunday. I'm sitting there. Church is great. Church is full of people. And my sweet daughter comes into my office with her Bible, and she reads to me Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. Would you turn with me? Keep your place there in Deuteronomy, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. My 15-year-old daughter, part of the youth of our church, says, "Daddy," and she shares the verse. No, she doesn't read the verse. She just says, "Daddy, this verse describes our youth at church." Let's read it together. "A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger, and they are gone away backward." Now, how would y'all like to experience that? Now, think about experiencing that if it's just your child. But think about experiencing that, Sandy, if it's your daughter and you're the pastor of the church. That'll get your attention. That'll get your attention pretty good. Now, you can look at that different ways, and I guess, Brooke, you're old enough now, I won't protect you anymore. You can look at that different way. Well, why, should Brooke be saying that? But once again, somebody brings you the Word of God, and God's laid the Word of God in your heart, you need to listen to it. Go back with me to Deuteronomy. Read verse 2 very carefully. "And you know this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his stretched out arm, his miracles and his acts, which did midst of Egypt, and to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land." So I started doing something, and I started, it's good to have the youth with us tonight, our youth program. They're all joining us tonight. Because I started doing a little research, Aaron, and the research I started doing is this. I said, I wonder, is that true? Because, you know, Brooke just might have gone crazy, and, you know, Brooke don't know. I mean, you got a thriving, growing youth program. Well, you know, I was going to straighten Brooke out. I started getting little comments like this, you know. "Well, boys will be boys, Eric." Eric, let me ask a question. You want your daughter in a youth group where the leaders just say, "Boy, you want boys to be boys, or you want boys to be men of God?" Got a daughter. Robbie, what about you? "Well, you know," and then I began to find out that Egypt, that there's a whole lot of Egypt in our world, amen? And listen, there'd be a whole lot of Egypt going on in my house. Y'all right? And so what God is painting a picture here, and we begin to get in these verses, in this very verse 2 and verse 3, we go from the love of God and all the great things of God, and God starts talking about, "Hey, I want to talk to you about where you've been and what has happened and what I've done and how I have a different expectation for our children, for your children." That's what he's saying. So I had that. So I began to research that. And I'm telling you how, you know, I have learned that if you'll take the Word of God and you're thrown into a situation, it has an amazing way of doing exactly what it did in Jesus' time. To the point when they took the Son of God and wanted to crucify him, when people scattered everywhere. And so as we begin to move through time, begin to say, you know, we better look at this. We better be careful. And I never forget, a few years ago, I sat with our youth leaders, and I've loved all our youth leaders, and I love them today. I have some trouble with Davey and Brooke sometimes, you know, because I just know them too well. I'm just joking. But we said a few years ago, said, "Hey, you know, listen, let's, you know, we're really going to set this thing on fire." I met with them, and I met the youth leader, and I said, "You know," I said, "we really need to take a step up on this." I said, "Because, you know, just continually, you know, there's so much sex before marriage, and the Bible speaks to that. There's so much drinking. There's so much going on." I said, "We really just need to continue to make it very clear where we stand, and we stand with the Word of God and the danger it has." Pause for an interjection. Did anybody raise your hand, see 2020 and Katie Couric that was on this week? Did anybody see that? I challenge you, if you got to go online or something, one of the greatest news stories I've ever heard, and it's obvious that she knows God and God has helped, but she shares for an hour on 2020 about her battle with alcoholism. And I'm telling you, one of the most awesome things that I have ever seen. Sandra had caught a glimpse that was on, and we went back and were able to watch it. And I'm telling you, but just the devastation it did to her life. She's anchoring the news. She's one of the most well-known in Sanders. I never knew that about her. And she almost died. At one point, she had 0.4 blood alcohol. You die at that. And she was walking around the streets, and a woman found her, and she was blacking out, and she almost lost her job. And, you don't know those things, but all because of alcohol. So I tell you what, you begin to make stands like that, and that's what God begins to make stand on His Word. I tell you what, folks don't like that, y'all, because we have too many parents in this, in our area. You can just say in Union County, might you agree with me? Plenty of parents. I mean, they drink and they party and they do everything, and the kids are just falling right after them, and it's crazy. And a lot of them go to church. So God begins to deal with Egypt. God begins to say, why did they go to Egypt? Why were they taken into captivity in Egypt? What took them to Egypt? Sin took them to Egypt. This is not feel-good God stuff. This is dealing with sin. Let's deal with the sin, God says, and I want better for your children. And I want better for our children, don't y'all? So I began to say at that time, and I have no problem. If you're looking, we probably will never have 50 people in youth anymore. So you can't go by this in this day and time and get 50 people in youth, Dickie. You can't do it. But I tell you what I'd rather have, and I've said it for several years now, I'd rather have 3 or 4 or 4 or 5, 10 sold out to this Word of God and following Him. And boy, I tell you what, they make good boyfriends for your daughters. They make good girlfriends for your sons. Amen? Man, they really do. More. God is saying, because of your sin, you're taken into captivity. So look at me in verse 3. He talks about the miracles, the acts. It's amazing how people will celebrate God's miracles and look for miracles, but they won't talk about Egypt. Said, He did in the midst of Egypt. Your sin took you there. They were disobedient to God, and God allowed them to be taken into captivity. And that was that story, and as I mentioned about Katie Curran, the alcoholism, she said it had taken her to captive, and she made this statement. I watched it just this afternoon. I mean, I had tears in my eyes, and she said this. She said, she has two boys. She said, I love my children enough that I would die for them. She even smiled and said, I would kill for my children. She said, but I would not stop drinking for my children. Man, that's terrible, y'all. That's a power of something. I always think about the time that I was riding around with a friend, and they had told me with my kidney stones that, people say if you drink beer, that helps dry out the kidney stones. Well, that ain't the only reason I was drinking beer, but I remember I was riding around, and my friend didn't drink because his daddy was an alcoholic. Imagine that. Booze driving for me. Had a six-pack of beer down in the floorboard there. We cut the wagon wheel one time, but I don't know if he even does that anymore. We cut around the wagon wheel, and I looked, and we're stopping there. My friend's Tony Adcock, we're in his car. I'm looking down at that, and I looked at it, and I said, I wonder what beer you go from being a casual drinker to being an alcoholic. I did, young. And I said, if a man or woman knew which beer or drink that was, they would never pick that one up. Whoop, that's it. That's it. That's the one right there. I ain't touching that one. It's a picture of Egypt. The children, God's children, His chosen ones, ended up in Egypt because they just kept being disobedient to Him and not listening to Him and refusing to listen to Him. And it's the same thing that God wants this preacher and all of us to do. I'm teaching the new believers class this morning, as I mentioned, and I'm having to testify to them, not specifically. I remember waking up Monday morning. I tell y'all often, I don't wake up many mornings leaning toward God, raising my hands in there, saying, glory, hallelujah, God, I just feel so close to you this morning, and I'm going to read your word, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to serve you, I praise you. Sometimes we wake up in the morning thinking, man, God, I don't know how to face the day. Y'all all right? Remember, my mind had wandered. I got my eyes and was just in places it shouldn't be, and I was so convicted of that sin in my life, and I was reminded of Satan said, hey, it's Monday morning, let's go to Egypt. I love the fact that when God is speaking of sin here, and y'all, we're going to continue to talk about sin, we're going to teach our children about sin, amen. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what happened to the children of Israel in Egypt, but what's happening in the United States is becoming an Egypt. Look what it says. He says, remember, he's teaching because he wants things to be different for the children. Verse 4, he says, what he did unto the army of Egypt, to their horses, to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord has destroyed them unto this day. Look at the words he uses. He's talking, man, these are simply the army. They're just following Pharaoh. I mean, they're just doing what an army does. Why did God kill them? Because they were out of the will of God. We can be out of the will of God and be caught up in something. That's why, I mean, I don't want to mention very much anymore this presidential election, this race coming up. Praise God. Let's pray. Amen. Let's just pray. They ain't nothing to do to pray. Y'all, this is messed up. We're just messed up. Everything's messed up. I said, when he's not, just watch. I'm kind of sitting on the sidelines. No, I'm not sitting on the sidelines. I'm kneeling on the sidelines thinking, okay, you know, what's going to win, the power of politics or the power of money? Amen? Well, that's the two pictures. And one of those are going to win. Boy, that's going to help things out a lot, isn't it? That'll fix it. He says here that God still destroys, y'all. God still allows people's lives to be destroyed. Remember the context of the children. Look at verse 5. He says, and what he did into the... See, you'll miss verse 5 if you're not careful. Look very careful with me. He says, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until he came into the place. What? Okay, so leaving Egypt, and they're in bondage, and God has sent Moses to lead them out. How wonderful. We're escaping out of here. And so what happens? You know, wait a minute. What's the story? God took them and gathered them in a land just like the Garden of Eden, and you know, everything was wonderful and everything got blessed. No. 40 years. In the wilderness. That's what God did. God allowed them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years after they left Egypt. You know, and it's so easy for us to judge and look. It's easy to judge people, amen, and judge situations. Why can't they get it? You know why they can't get it? I understand fully well, Christy, because there's many days that I just don't get it. I mess up. Anybody with me? He says, and what he did unto you in the wilderness. And in verse 6, I'm just going to mention on this, and I went back and just briefly read. You can go back and read. I think they're in Numbers 16 and also in chapter 27 of Numbers it talks. But look at the picture here. It says in verse 6, and the earth opened her mouth, swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance was theirs in the possession of the midst of Israel. What the picture is, God's man shows up on the scene. People are living apart from God. There's sin rampant, just like sin can be in our lives, in our church, and in the world we live in. And so the man of God basically says, well, you know, it's one of those deals where if I'm wrong, if our God's wrong, then let this happen to me. But if my God's right, let the earth open and swallow. The earth opened up and swallowed him up. Now, you know how many people believe that's just a story, a made-up story, a fable out of the Bible? A bunch of people. But you know, we know that happened. So the next time you start thinking, man, things sure have gotten bad. Boy, our country's sure in a mess. I don't remember anything lately where God opened the earth up and swallowed somebody up. The nearest thing that I can mention, and I can only have heard about it, okay, I know you probably heard about this, I can't remember all the details, but there was years and years ago, there was a dance hall somewhere in this area. And the story was that what went on at the dance hall was a lot of drinking, a lot of partying, a lot of dancing going on. This is year, I mean, this is that probably in the 20s, 30s, I don't know. But I think it was, the preacher. What preacher was it? I can almost see him. There was a preacher that began, they were going to pray against the dance hall. And literally one night, they're dancing at the dance hall and the floor caves in amongst them. And people, you're credited God, created the preacher and the praying for what's going on. Y'all, God's great. We live in, it's the age of grace. It's the church age. That's what the Bible says. And so God's not destroyed any cities like Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not opening up the ground anymore. But he's the same God and the same consequences. And I'm telling you what's happening. You take like a Katie Couric. You take people that we love and know. Lives are falling apart. Lives are falling apart all around us. Look in verse 7. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. What have you seen? I want to ask you that. Think for a moment. What have you seen God do? What things have you seen God do in your life? I think one of the greatest things, y'all, that I can think of that I've seen God do is forgive a wretchful sinner like me. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of God. Look at that little word. And I talk about often that little word all in the Bible. So we're thinking a lot. I'm telling y'all, I want to, for our children especially, to recognize all that I've seen that God did in the Bible. All the heartache, all the punishment, all the Word of God. They know that. We teach them that. They understand that. They understand how what sin did to Jesus and what sin can do into a life and all the things that I've seen and you've seen. And we just pour it in them and then we teach them what God wants and what God's got for them. I want to continue to tell teenage boys and girls, young boys, God's got a great plan for your life. Amen? Like I said this morning. But because look what he says in verse 8. Therefore, okay, he says, talking to you adults, talking to you church family, talking to you my children, but you're in verse 8 it says, therefore, because of all you've seen and all I've told you, therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it. I don't know a lot of things, but I'll promise you something. There's a good number that for whatever reason they think they're not back at church tonight. There's a good number in our church family that I would dare say that they don't even realize the reason they're not back tonight is because they got a little close this morning and Satan did not want them to hear this verse read that if we're going to really do what God wants to, we're going to have to keep all of the commandments which he commands us. All of them. All of them. I knocked that over. Do you think he means all? I read an article this week. I should have brought it. I didn't know I was going to mention this. I did mention Tim. I was going to mention, but I forgot to bring the book. Tim and Kay had us sing at Calvary. And what jumped out as we were singing for me, one thing was verse 2. It said, by God's word, at last my sin I learned. See, that's good Bible theology in good Bible songs. Verse 2, you might have missed it when we were singing. By God's word, at last my sin I learned. It says, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. I'm not having enough of that in my life, I don't believe. I don't believe there's enough going on in church setting. I wish I'd have brought the article. I read this brief article. I love Dr. Charles Stanley. I mean, I just met a great man of God, great pastor, great teacher of the Word of God. Don't know a lot about his son Andy. I've read a few things. I've got some statements he's made I really love, but open up the biblical recorder this week, a little state biblical paper, and somebody said there's obviously been this one of these debate type settings going on there, and basically if it's true, the quotes having Andy was saying all these things. Well, just he was just one of these guys that say now, well, he just mentioned certain things in the pulpit. What's that mean? Well, if that's the case, y'all, I done messed up. Because the more we mention of this, the more things happen. By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Look what he said in verse 8. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whether you go to possess it. He's talking about the promised land. Now, biblically speaking, there's a lot of good songs we sing, and there's a lot of people that believe that passing over Jordan in the Bible is a picture of passing over, the passing over the promised land. They believe it's an image, really, of passing into heaven. And you can look at that and think that, but that really, biblically speaking, that's not what it's a picture of. And I remember as I was studying with a Bible teacher one time, he said the reason is they were still sin, there was still trouble, there's all kind of things over Jordan, so that's not a picture of heaven. But they were going to a land that God, and the promised land was the place that God had promised as all before. If you will be obedient to me, follow my commandments, you know, repent of your sin and follow me, that you're going to experience things that you wouldn't experience apart. We have to talk about sin, and we have to deal with sin. Brooke, have I been faithful? Hilton's not here, Davey. Do we talk about sin at home? Our sin, y'all's sin, it's a topic. I kind of close with this. And some of you heard me say this before, the Union County Jail, you park way out here, and there's this long sidewalk that goes up the side of it to get in to go visit at the jail. And every time that I've ever walked in that entrance, Miss Mark, you probably know the area I'm talking about. Every time I walked in there, I thought, a few different choices by my grandpa, my dad, or just by me, I've been in jail, been in prison. I think about my children. You know, I'm hoping Brooke's past the point now. I just can't really see her, you know, getting in jail. I hope not, you know. But I realized as she grew up, I thought, you know, man, Brooke can make a mess and she can get up and she can be here. And I thought that of Hilton especially, amen. Y'all laugh. I thought that. Miss Martin, did you ever think that? Maybe you never thought about your boys, but they could really mess up and end up in jail. I thought that. We all know a lot of folks, they don't think that. They don't think that their children or their grandchildren would end up in jail. Because you know, boys will be boys, girls will be girls, and boys and girls will be that way together. God continually, and what happens is the more we're in the Word of God and the more we take our children to the Word of God, the more God brings conviction for our sin. Amen. I have a much easier week if I'm tremendously busy going to the hospital and on the phone and been busy as ministry. But those times when I'm in the Word of God and God just continually shows me, you know, I think sometimes God's saying to me, well, hey, you know, here, I'll give you a message. That's why I look about every message. I thank you, God, for the gift of a message. But he says, but now go here. Now get look at this. Because he says, I just want to talk about Jeff. I want to talk about your sin. Talk about where you're at. I want to deal with that. So I encourage you, all your children, grandchildren, man, can talk about your sin. Talk about your life. Talk about what God's done. Share continually about the danger of sin. And it's not real popular. And it won't draw a big crowd. But it'll draw you closer to God. And that's all we need. Is to be closer to Him. Amen. I mean what I say. We all have the same greatest need. That's just a closer walk with Him. And this is the only way. And He says, what's He say? Listen, you've seen it. And even not sure others haven't seen it. But you've seen it. Just keep all my commandments. And I think that they, at points like this, don't you think they had a glimpse that they understood? They understood exactly what God was saying, like you and I do often. But then they get distracted and they turn away. So would you bow with me, every head bowed, every eye closed, and Tim's and Kay's going to come. And maybe God's revealing some sin to you. Maybe you want Him to. Maybe you just want to come and pray for those Bibles that you gave. Pray for the moms and dads too. Don't forget that when you're praying. you don't just have a Bible buddy in that child, but you've got a family. Coming in, I was talking to a Bible buddy, saying, yeah, man, just some real specific prayer requests there, things God wants to do. Maybe you come tonight and you realize, I don't have a real relationship with Jesus and I need one. Or maybe I want to be closer to him. Or maybe I just want to kind of huddle up close to him for a little bit tonight before I go out into the dark world tomorrow. Just asking him to keep our light shining a little brighter. Whatever the need is, I'm so thankful that in Jesus Christ, it can be met. Lord, we love you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray and we give you this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. Tim, would you lead us?
Number 564. Let's all stand, please.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. To the Lord who cares, who with me my burden shares, none but thee, dear Lord, none but thee, just a closer walk with thee. Grant Jesus is my plea.